This evening, we're reading from the second chapter, you can say 42 through 53. This is the last half of the section on Buddha Yoga. And this is an important verse. Yavanartha udapane. Yavanartha udapane. Sarvata sampluto dake. Sarvata sampluto dake. Havan sarvesu vedesu. Tavan sarvesu vedesu. Brahmanasya vijanata. Brahmanasya vijanata. Yavanartha udapane. Sarvata sampluto dake. Tavan sarvesu vedesu. Brahmanasya vijanata. Artha is meant. Udapane. In a well of water. Sarvataha, in all respects. Sampluta udake, in a great reservoir of water. Tavan, similarly. Sarveshu, in all. Vedeshu, Vedic literatures. Brahmanasya, of the man who knows the Supreme Brahman. Vijanataha, who is complete in knowledge. Translation: all purposes served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. Purport. The rituals and sacrifices mentioned in the Karmakanda division of the Vedic literature are meant to encourage gradual development of self-realization. And the purpose of self-realization is clearly stated in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 15:15. The purpose of studying the Vedas is to know Lord Krishna, the primeval cause of everything. So self-realization means understanding Krishna and one's relationship with him. The relationship of the living entities with Krishna is also mentioned in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 15:7. The living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna. Therefore, revival of Krishna consciousness by the individual living entity is the highest perfectional stage of Vedic knowledge. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.37.7 as follows. Aho bata svapachato gariyan yajjivagre vartate namatubhyam te pustapuste juhu vusasnuraya brahmanuchar namagrananti ete. O my Lord, a person who is chanting your holy name, although born of a low family like that of a chandala or a dog eater, is situated on the highest platform of self-realization. Such a person must have performed all kinds of penances and sacrifices according to Vedic rituals and studied the Vedic literatures many, many times after taking his bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. Such a person is considered to be the best of the Aryan family. So one must be intelligent enough to understand the purpose of the Vedas without being attached to the rituals only, and must not desire to be elevated to the heavenly kingdoms for a better quality of sense gratification. It is not possible for the common man in this age to follow all the rules and regulations of the Vedic rituals, nor is it possible to study all of the Vedanta and the Upanishads thoroughly. It requires much time, energy, knowledge, and resources to execute the purposes of the Vedas. This is hardly possible in this age. The best purpose of Vedic culture is served, however, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. As recommended by Lord Chaitanya, the deliverer of all fallen souls. When Lord Chaitanya was asked by a great Vedic scholar, Prakashananda Saraswati, why he, the Lord, was chanting the holy name of the Lord like a sentimentalist instead of studying Vedanta philosophy, the Lord replied that his spiritual master had found him to be a great fool, and thus asked him to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He did so and became ecstatic like a madman. In this age of Kali, most of the population is foolish and not adequately educated to understand Vedanta philosophy. The best purpose of Vedanta philosophy is served by inoffensively chanting the holy name of the Lord. Vedanta is the last word in Vedic wisdom, and the author and knower of the Vedanta philosophy is Lord Krishna, and the highest Vedantist is the great soul who takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord. That is the ultimate purpose of all Vedic mysticism. So, just to summarize what we have studied so far, the very first section, verses 1 through 10, there was a theme for that first section, and we've gone over it about 4 or 5 times. So, who remembers that theme? Don't be shy. What was the theme for the first section? Yes, you... You're excused. You're forgiven. But who else knows? You don't count. You're the only brahmachari here. Yes. Good, let's try. What was that theme? Yeah, very good. Thank you. It's something that it's practically the beginning of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna realizes that his mind, his intelligence, they won't help him. He has no shelter. Then he takes shelter of Lord Krishna. As long as we're thinking that by our own efforts, by our own big brain, by our own plan making, by our own schemes, we can solve the problems of life, then why should we turn to a spiritual master? So then, in the second section, which was entitled Jnana, or Fight, There is No Death for the Soul, Krishna attacks Arjuna's argument of compassion. This is in verses 11 through 30. And he attacks Arjuna's argument by saying how the body is temporary, only the soul is eternal. So why should you lament? Why should you worry about something that is going to die today or tomorrow or 6 months from now? Rather, a pundit or a learned person, as you are claiming to be, will be more interested in the soul. And another part of the section, second section, is that we can keep our consciousness fixed in spiritual life by engaging in prescribed duties. In order to achieve self-realization, one needs what is called vyavasayatmika buddhi, or fixed intelligence. But as long as one has no practical work to do, his mind and senses will seek out sense gratification. So one has to engage the senses in works of devotion. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhaktir, uccite, when your senses are engaged in the service of Krishna, who is known as the master of the senses, then you're practicing yoga. So in so many ways, Krishna tried to convince Arjuna from the eternality of the soul. Then in the third section of the second chapter, it is entitled Karma Kanda, and it comprises verses 31 through 38. So Krishna has first of all chastised Arjuna. First of all, he accepted him as a disciple, chastised him that he was speaking foolishly. Then he went on to describe the nature of the soul. In this section, he changes course, he changes direction. He uses material arguments to defeat Arjuna's material compassion. Sometimes we do that while we're preaching. For example, the other day I was explaining to someone about the spiritual importance of offering your food to Krishna. And they asked, "Oh, are you vegetarian?" And I said, "No. We are Krishnatarian." Then I went on to explain all of the material reasons why we are not supposed to eat meat. So that gave double strength to my argument. For example, I'm sure you know all the arguments, right? The vegetarian argument. You all know those? I won't go through them. Well, okay. The acid, the digestive acid in a carnivore is 20 times stronger than in a vegetarian animal. Because the carnivore has to digest meat, which is hard to break down. Human beings have the acid, digestive acid, of a vegetarian animal. If you stick some meat in the sun, in the hot noonday sun, in a few hours it will start to attract a lot of bugs and worms, and it will go rotten very quickly. Whereas I think we're still eating some of the food from the eclipse. I think some of that halava is from the eclipse. That's not ideal, but at least vegetarian food does not get rotten as quickly as meat. But the stomach length of a vegetarian is 4 times longer than that of a carnivore. So if we put meat in our stomach, which is 4 times the length of, say, a lion or a tiger, that meat has to stay in our stomach 4 times longer. In fact, what you eat at McDonald's may be in your stomach for up to 2 or 3 days. It's a fact it can take you 2 to 3 days to fully digest meat. And in that time, the meat gets rotten and produces poisons. Like that, there are so many arguments. So then, at the end of the third section, Krishna again gets back onto the spiritual arguments. He says, sukha dukhe same kritva labha labha jaya jaya tato yudhaya yujasa naivam papam avapsisi, that the way to get free from all karmic reaction or sin is to act with an equipoised mind. Now, in the fourth section here, Krishna begins to talk about buddhi yoga, sometimes known as nishkam karma. Nishkama means without any desire for the fruit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained, mukti bhukti siddhi kami shakali ashanta krishna bhakta nishkam atayav shanta, because everybody in this world acts with some motivation. Even the mukta who wants to become liberated, he has a desire. He wants his own salvation. And the siddhikami, he has desire because he wants mystical perfections. So none of them achieve perfection or shanta or peace because they still have material desire. But the Krishna Bhakta, who has no material desires, he only desires to please Krishna. This is the only way to become desireless. That is to desire on behalf of Krishna. The Mayavadis talk about making desire zero. They know that this desire causes us suffering. Desires are coming like rivers entering the ocean. Yavanartha udapane sarvata samplutodake. Tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanata. Only the devotee knows how to remain steady despite so many desires. That is, as it is explained, even in the Bible it is explained. We have one prayer that we chanted in school every day when I was young. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
So,
the whole idea, thy will, your desire, God, will be established on earth. I will make your desire my desire. So, in this second half of the section on Buddhi Yoga or Nishkam Karma, Krishna actually starts out by warning Arjuna about getting too attached to the Vedas. If you remember your Bhagavatam, which I'm sure you all do, Vyasadeva, who compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam? Who knows? Okay. Who is it?
Yeah.
Okay, Vyasadeva. By popular vote. Who was his spiritual master? Who knows who was his spiritual master? Or let me say, who doesn't know who was his spiritual master? Okay. You're forgiven. Who was his spiritual master then? It was? Narad Muni. Now, what happened to Vyasadeva when he started to compile Srimad Bhagavatam? Actually, even before he started to compile Srimad Bhagavatam, he felt very, very unhappy. He had compiled all the Vedas, so much knowledge. He had compiled the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra. So much philosophy. But he was not happy. And then Narad Muni came and he chastised his disciple. Gurus do this, you know. Next time you get chastised by your guru, you can remember Vyasadeva, you can remember Arjuna, they all got chastised. So Narada said that in the name of teaching religion, you have actually confused people and they will go for sense gratification. In the name of... So, this is what Krishna is warning Arjuna about here. He says, Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadanti Vivastitaha. Vedavada Ratha Partha Nanyadastiti Vadinaha. Beware of the flowery words of the Vedas. They recommend different activities for gradually elevating yourself. You see, Vyasadeva was thinking in a very big way. He was thinking, let me write something which will have something for everybody. Because souls are trapped in different bodies on different levels of consciousness. There's the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, and the mode of goodness. And there's a mixture of these three different modes. And there are about 8,400,000 species of life from different combinations of the modes of nature. So Vedavyasa thought, aha, let me make 6 Puranas for those in the mode of ignorance. Let me make 6 for those in the mode of goodness and 6 for those in the mode of passion. Let me create different formulas for people who want material happiness in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. And actually it is there. If you want good health, then you worship Surya, you worship the sun. If you want a beautiful wife, you worship Goddess Uma. She's an expansion of Durga. If you want wealth, you can worship different demigods, Kuvera, you can worship Indra or Shiva. In fact, there are millions of demigods who can offer you different benedictions. Now, Vyasadeva's idea was that people will do this and then they'll get attached to the Vedas and gradually they'll get elevated even above their material desires. But unfortunately, he miscalculated that in Kali Yuga people are so foolish that they'll just get caught in pursuing sense gratification and they won't get the higher idea. So finally, of course, Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, in which he went directly to the most effective and powerful method of spiritual advancement, that is hearing about and glorifying the Supreme, Sri Krishna.
Amiben a legfontosabb módja, hogy a legfontosabb módja, amiért az a nyelnek, az Krishnának a dicséretében.
Krishna warns Arjuna about material opulence, that it's better to live simply than to be surrounded by material opulence, because your mind will get bewildered. You wonder sometimes about the civilization we live in. We're distributing so many books. We're making so much propaganda to present the philosophy very nicely. It's a very clear philosophy. It's not difficult to understand, but it is very profound. Why don't people take it up? Is there something wrong with them, or is there something wrong with me, or what is the problem? The problem is that they have created such a civilization that they're totally intoxicated. The famous British philosopher Prabhupada used to quote, said that the city is made by man, but the country is made by God. In the middle of the city, you think, we don't need God. We make everything we need. We make the roads. We make the big buildings. We make Tesco's. We make instant food. Pretty soon we're going to have a little pill, and that's all you have to eat for a full meal. And don't worry if we mismanage the world's ecology. There's lots of nutrition in seaweed. We can eat seaweed. Seaweed. The weeds from the sea. Kelp. Or what do you call that? Spirulina. No, that doesn't even help. You don't know what spirulina is. Okay. But the main thing is that they're simply intoxicated with their own tiny little position, thinking how big they are. Prabhupada used to quote a Bengali proverb, Bada bada badur, bada bada pet, lanka jab diye madakada het. Big, big monkey, big, big belly, jumping to Lanka, melancholy. Big, big monkey, big, big belly, big, big belly, jumping to Lanka, melancholy. In other words, when all the monkeys reached the shore of the ocean and someone had to jump over to Lanka, all these big, big monkeys started to jump up and down and say, I can jump so far, I can do this, I can do that.
Hogy én ezt meg tudom csinálni, igaz?
But in the end, none of them could do anything only Hanuman could do. So these people, they make so many claims about what they're going to do, but in the end they can't do anything. They get defeated by old age, disease, and death. Bada bada badur, bada bada pet, lanka jab diye mada kada het. I love that song. It's beautiful. Then Krishna directly says, Nistray Gunya Bhava Arjun, give up the Vedas. Try to understand the essence. And then in this verse that we read, Yavan Artha Udapane Sarvata Samplutodake, it's a nice example that is given. You couldn't read all the Vedas in your lifetime anyway. You could not read all the Vedas in your lifetime anyway. What to speak of understanding the Sanskrit language and the difficult philosophy. Therefore, you should just try to meet someone who knows the purpose behind the Vedas. And be trained by that person yourself. That is called Vaishnava Parampara. Even Krishna says, Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Jarsayo Vidu Sakaline Mata Yoga Nasta Parantapa. This science is coming down from guru to disciple since Vivishwan, since Manu. So the easiest way to understand is not to try to speculate yourself, but just as you might have a small pond and wash your clothes, but if you had a big lake, then you could wash your clothes, you could go swimming, you could do so many things more. Many villages in India are either on the bank of a river or near some lake, or they build a big artificial lake near their village called a puku. Puku, okay. And they do all kinds of things in those lakes. So in the same way, you don't miss out on anything when you understand the ultimate purpose. This is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Svanustita Pungsang Vishvaksena Katasuya. Krishna is known as Vishvaksena, so Vishvaksena Kata. If you don't develop an attraction for hearing about Vishvaksena Kata, Krishna Kata, then Notpadi Yadi Ratim Srama eva hi kevalam. Then it is simply a useless labor. Prabhupada also makes the point in this verse that anybody who's chanting Hare Krishna, it should be understood that he's already undergone Vedic rituals in a previous lifetime. It's not easy to chant Hare Krishna. That may seem funny to you because you're chanting Hare Krishna. No, it's easy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. It's easy. But preachers know that they can do so many things to try to attract people to chant, but there are some people who just won't chant. In fact, Prabhupada would sometimes joke about a cartoon where a devotee was speaking to some karmi and saying, chant, chant, chant. And the karmi was saying, can't, can't, can't. So, some people actually can't, can't, can't. Their karma will not allow them. They're too sinful to chant God's names. I bet you they couldn't even say Jehovah, 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 what to speak of Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But devotees, although you may not think of yourself as being anything special, but in previous lifetimes, according to this, you have already done the prescribed mantras and tantras and yajnas, etc. Then Krishna goes on to explain to Arjuna about working without attachment to the fruit. Now this is a very famous verse in India. Karmanyeva dikaraste mahaphalechu kadachana makarma phalhetur burmate sangastva karmani. Practically, well, many of the Indian businessmen that I preach to, this verse is the most well known. Because Krishna is saying you have a right to do your work, just don't be attached to the fruit. So they quote this verse and say, yes, Swamiji, we are doing our work and we are not attached to the fruit. We work, and if 1 million foreign comes, okay, I will go on a tour to America. I'm not attached. If 10 million foreign comes from my work, I'm not attached, I'm unattached. Krishna says, be unattached. I'll buy a house in Budapest. If 1 billion foreign comes, I'm not attached. I'll go on a tour to America, I'll buy a house in Budapest, I'll buy a house in London, I'm not attached. But what Krishna really means is that you work, and if 1 million foreign comes, and you only need 500,000 foreign for your maintenance, you give 500,000 foreign to Krishna for devotional service. You do your work and don't be attached. If 10 million foreign comes, then you take 500,000 for your maintenance and spend 9,500,000 foreign for Krishna's service. If 1 billion comes, then you take 750,000 foreign for your maintenance, give yourself a little raise in pay, and use 999,250,000 foreign for Krishna's service. So then Krishna also says, ma karma phal hetur bhur mate sangas tvakarma ni. Don't start to think, this is a big mistake, to think that the fruits are coming. The fruits of your work have come because of your effort. This is what happens in life. We do something good and wonderful, and we take the credit for it. Look what I did. Look how wonderful I am. Look, I have grown a nice garden. I've built a big house. Look at what I have done. But if things go wrong, if the garden, none of the flowers grow, none of the crops come up, then when we say, why did God do this to me? It should be the other way around. If something good happens, you should say, oh, God is very kind. Look what God has done. I'm just His instrument. He's the doer. And if something bad happens, we should think that God has been kind. He's given me my purva karma, my past bad karma, and He has reduced the effect. But people have got such a huge false ego. Although they're so small, they're nothing. A little tiny germ that you have to look at in an electron microscope. If he enters our blood, we fall down flat on the ground. We're so great and powerful. We won't give any credit to God. We create a discovery spacecraft, and oh, how great the scientists of NASA are.
azt mondják, hogy nézzétek, milyen hatalmasak a NASA-ban a tudósok.
But God creates a huge planet, all nature did it.
És ha Isten teremt egy nagy bolygót, akkor azt mondják, hogy jó, a természet csinálta.
Let's see them create an airplane the size of a mosquito.
És nézzük meg őket, hogy csinálnak egy olyan repülőgépet, ami szúnyog nagyságú.
They can't do it, but they have such a big ego. So Krishna goes on talking about working without desire for the fruit. And he warns Arjuna to keep sinful activities away, durena hi avaram karma. Keep away all types of sinful activities, abominable. Avaram means abominable activities, abominable karma. So he's saying, keep durena hi avaram karma, buddhi yogad sanan dananjaya. By practice of buddhi yoga, you keep away all sinful activities. Bhakti yoga will insulate you from maya.
Bhakti yoga will travel at the time in the Venusha. Bhakti yoga and Sigata Maya.
Sometimes things stick in your brain from your childhood. You just can't get them out, you know. You're 95 years old and you remember some stupid thing that happened to you when you were 10 years old.
Néha valamilyen hülye kis dolog benne van az embernek az agyába, és még 95 éves korában is emlékezik rá.
So when I was very young, I remember this toothpaste commercial from television.
Amikor nagyon kicsi voltam, akkor emlékszem erre a fogkrém reklámra a tévéből.
It was a commercial for Colgate toothpaste. How many people use Colgate?
Is it Colgate?
Okay. Most of you probably don't. Okay. So they had this, what they called Colgate with Gardol. Gardol. Colgate with Gardol. Gardol. And they had someone's teeth, and then they had this little germ, this little tooth germ. And this little tooth germ was all excited that he was going to attack this person's teeth and enjoy. So then this person brushed his teeth with Colgate. And then all of a sudden this little kind of translucent or transparent little protective layer, you know, would go around his teeth, and then the germ ran at the teeth, but he smashed into the layer and fell down dead. So as a little kid, whenever I would brush my teeth with Colgate, I would start to try and feel for the little invisible shield. There's a reason why I'm telling you about this. If you engage your senses in the service of the Lord, if you engage in buddhi yoga, then you will be guarded by Krishna Gardol, and Maya won't be able to attack you.
És megeszel védve ezzel a Krishna véd mindent el, és Maya nem fog tudni megtámadni.
The secret here also that Krishna gives is this giving up the enjoying mentality.
So, a titok, amit Krishna megmondít, az az, hogy föl kell adni az élvező mentalitást.
And finally, Krishna, in verse 52, he says, Yadate moha kalilam buddhir vyati tarishyati tadagantasi nirvedam srotavyasya srutasvicha. We are in a moha kalilam, a big forest of illusion. But he tells Arjuna that when your intelligence passes out, yada te moha kalilam buddhir vyati tarishyati, when your intelligence passes out of this forest, then you'll become indifferent. Tadagandhasi nirvedam srotavyasya srutasya. You won't be interested in making material advancement. You won't be interested in getting material opulence. You know that it's all temporary. And again, the end, Krishna says, Shruti viprati panate yadastasyati nischala samadavachala buddhis tadag yogamavapshasi. Again, he talks about flowery language of the Vedas and remaining fixed in trance or samadhi. So that's the end of the third section. We'll start the last section tomorrow. It's a very, very interesting part of the Bhagavad Gita. Is there any questions? Yes.
In the Bhagavad Gita, it stated that to attain pure devotional service, great desire is needed. And how can it be present while the modes of nature are there?
Well, that's a pretty important question. Utsahan nischaya daryat. You have to be enthusiastic, you have to be determined to overcome obstacles, and you have to be patient. You can become enthusiastic by trying to use your intelligence. Certainly, using your intelligence helps a lot. By knowledge, you can destroy the doubts in the mind. These doubts are compared to demons. Doubts prevent us from acting with our full energy. Because we have doubts that we're acting in the right way, on the right path, therefore we hold back something. In time, gradually, you will gain confidence. But one guaranteed shortcut to help you succeed
De egy biztos rövidítése, a rövidített út a sikerhez.
Is to try to find enthusiastic devotees and engage in, associate with them, and the way to associate is by giving some service.
Az, hogy próbálunk lelkes baktákat találni, társulni velük, és ezt úgy lehet elérni, hogy szolgálatot végzünk neki.
Because their enthusiasm can automatically lift you up.
Mert az ő lelkesedésük automatikusan föl tud emelni.
Just like in racing.
Ugyanúgy, mint a versenyekben.
In car racing. I'm sure you all know about Formula One car racing. But if you don't, I will tell you. One car will be going very, very fast. And another car will be trying to get past him, but he can't get up enough speed.
Másik autó próbálja, hogy megelőzze, de nem tud elég sebességet összegyűjteni.
So he'll drive his car right behind that car that he wants to get past.
És pont mögötte van annak a kocsinak, amit meg akar előzni.
And he'll get up close behind him.
És nagyon közel kerül hozzá.
Now because of aerodynamics, the way air passes around the car, it creates what is called a slip stream. Which is sort of like a vacuum. Just directly behind the car. And that vacuum, because of the difference in pressure, any car that comes there gets immediately sucked in. So the car who wants to pass, he gets in behind that fast person, and then all of a sudden, as he starts to be pulled, he turns on the outside and passes him. Actually, I think I said slipstream. It should have been jetstream. Anyway, so you just get yourself into the jetstream of an enthusiastic devotee. And his speed and his or her speed and her enthusiasm will just pull you along. I'm telling you, associate with enthusiastic devotees wherever you find them.
Akárhol is találjátok őket, társuljatok a lelkes baktákkal.
But use your intelligence also.
De használd az értelmet
is. Study the philosophy.
Tanuld a filozófiát.
Destroy the doubts.
Bosszas szét a kételyeket.
Be patient.
Légy türelmes.
Enthusiasm without patience is just rajaguna.
A lelkesedés a türelem nélkül az csak rajaguna.
And patience without enthusiasm is just tamaguna. Any other questions? Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.